Blog Talk Radio.
As a 24-year diversity professional, I have a growing concern about the state of diversity and multiculturalism in our world. With technological advances at an all-time high, there are still some realities that just haven't gone away. Yes, we have made quantum leaps forward in certain areas of diversity, and for that I'm very pleased. America certainly has its first black president, President Barack Obama, truly one of our society's great achievements. But lurking in the background are age-old offenses that simply have not gone away and have been swept under the rug. Today's show explores the turbulent realities of sexual harassment, abuse, and racism in three high-profile cases, world cases, Herman Cain, Penn State, and FIFA's Sepp Blatter. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, welcome to the show. We're so glad that you joined us today. I am here back in Boston live, location here in the Dorchester area of Boston, looking at all the scenery and just enjoying the weather as we speak. We haven't had snow, thank goodness. The weather is certainly cooperating, and we hope it will continue throughout the weekend. I also want to encourage you to do two things. Number one, go to my Multicultural Symposium website. That's www.msfconnect.com, msfconnect.com, and you will find information about our upcoming February 2nd, 2012, Black History Empowerment Breakfast. We have had Empowerment Recognition Breakfast since 2000, and this will make our 19th breakfast. Switch the time a little bit. Wanted to really honor African Americans and people of color, people of the African diaspora who live in the United States and who have contributed so much to our American landscape. And for that, we're going to have a fabulous February 2nd breakfast. Everything is all confirmed. And I'm also very pleased to announce that our keynote speaker will be civil rights advocate Juanita Jones Abernathy of Atlanta, Georgia. She is the widow of Reverend Dr. Ralph David Abernathy, who was the closest associate to Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. Their families vacationed together. Their families labored in the vineyard together. Both families actually had four children. They were very, very close during the civil rights era. And Juanita Abernathy has been my dear friend, mentor for probably 40 years, close to 40 years. We're going to bring her up to Boston. She will have a chance to tell us like it is and give us just a sense of history from her perspective, the women, the children, the families who were intricately involved in the civil rights movement during that time period from 1952, 53, all the way up to the early 70s. So we encourage those who are here in the Boston area to participate, those who are out of the area. We'd love to have you to stop on by and come in on February 2nd. Ticket information and information about how you can come either as a member or a guest is at the website www.msfconnect.com. And I'd love for you to spread the word about this very important woman, this very important civil rights advocate, as we celebrate the upcoming month, Black History Month. Secondly, in preparation for this show, after this show, actually, I'd like for you to go to my other website. That's www.tellcarole.com, T-E-L-L-C-A-R-O-L-E. On the homepage of that website is a poll about sexual harassment and sexual abuse. Would love for you to cast your vote. Give us your opinion right there. It is completely 100% anonymous. We won't know who you are, but we definitely want to know what your opinion is. I'm just going to gather information and collect the data. I've done so on Facebook and want to thank all my Facebook friends who are spreading the word about this show and about that poll, because I want to do some writing now just to dispel some of the myths and to clarify some of the issues about what sexual harassment is, what it is not, what racism happens to be, discrimination, and sexual abuse, too. So, again, TellCarole, TellCarole, is the website, and we'd love for you to go there. And also thank you for supporting this important issue and voicing your opinion. I am very disturbed, not so much surprised, but just disturbed by the abundance of these abuse cases that continue to rear their ugly head. When it comes to the abuse of women and children and those who are in defenseless cases, certainly we see it in warfare all the time. We're seeing the high incidences of rape and warfare. They go hand in hand. But then the silent warfare of children in the case of Penn State and the case that just erupted last week is just extremely disturbing to me. It's extremely disturbing for anyone who has any sense of decency to see how a school system, a very important school, university, that is the controlling employer in central Pennsylvania, in that particular area. It's really off of Interstate 80. I was on that interstate this weekend, this summer, coming back from a family wedding, and high up in the mountains. So it's not easy to get to. But once you get up there, thousands and thousands of people owe their livelihoods to that university, whether they're working as a university police officer or working in the cafeteria or working in the athletic department. It is a very important school. But because of its importance and because of the relevance of the revenue stream with football, the school has lost its way. And it's lost its way in a very big and critically detrimental manner. I saw the stats a little earlier, and I believe that each home game brings in about $6 million in terms of ticket sales, advertisement, et cetera. That's a lot of money. And you roll that up into year after year and season after season, and you get someone, iconic figure like Joe Paterno, who was the head coach until last week. You have a recipe for blind avoidance of ethical behavior that sort of racks itself up with the Jerry Sandusky case. I've gone back and looked at the timeline that took place with that particular case, and it's just extremely disturbing in terms of what has happened and what should not have happened in terms of the eight young men who have now accused the retired assistant coach, Jerry Sandusky, of sexually molesting them. It's rape any way you look at it. You look at the young graduate student who then became on to become an assistant coach who actually stumbled upon Jerry Sandusky molesting a 10-year-old boy in the shower, naked, no clothes on, and literally having sex at that time with a 10-year-old. He did go to his father, this is the assistant coach, when he saw that. He did apparently go to Joe Paterno, but the case never got to the police department. And for that, it is not only shameful, it is morally criminal. Now, my daughter is in the psychology field, and she is a clinical coordinator, has her doctorate in clinical psychology, and she works with very tough cases all the time in the state of Connecticut. One thing she told me last week when I was reviewing the case, looking at the timeline, just examining what was going on, she said, Mom, in the state of Connecticut, as it is in many other states, because of the cases that she works with, and she works with very tough cases that sometimes deals with abuse of adolescent children, and the home that she works out of deals with very tough cases. And she said, anytime any professional, whether it's an educator, whether it is an athletic coach, or certainly those who are in the healthcare profession, if they suspect, if they stumble upon a molestation case or something where sexual abuse is taking place, they are required to go to the police department. It's not a matter of thinking about it. They are required to go to the police department. This is a standing law in certainly the state of Connecticut, as it probably is in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and around the country. The laws were not followed in the case of Penn State, and then you had a sexual predator who was allowed to rape at least 8 young boys in this home that he started, the Second Mile home that he started some years ago. He was allowed to continue on with his behavior for at least 15 years. Could be longer, but we know it's from roughly 1994, 1995 until 2001 or a little bit, 2009 or so, around that time period, about 15 years, that this predator was allowed to continue on in a behavior in a way that not only harmed but violated drastically the lives of young people. And that is a crime. That is simply a crime. Was the school blinded by the $6 million they got and the millions of more dollars that they received from endorsements, contract deals, television rights, et cetera? Probably. Was the school blinded by the power and the adoration of Joe Paterno? Probably. You roll all that up together, it's not one particular person. You have the president of the university now who was fired, Joe Paterno, fired. McIntyre put on administrative leave at this time. You have a mess to sort out, an awful mess to sort out. That's the sexual abuse case that I wanted to bring to the forefront, one that is just a reminder of how we have to be on our ethical P's and Q's all the time and to bring these things to light so that they will not happen in such frequency as they are currently happening. The second case I wanted to talk about, I'm going to give you some definitions and a website, a government website, because the information that I've gathered is from the government. This is about law and policies and regulations, not hearsay. But the second case deals with the sexual harassment cases, not just one case, but cases, of Herman Cain, the Republican presidential candidate who was running, obviously, for president. Running against 7 other candidates, rose to the top of the heap, was beating Mitt Romney in many of the polls, and then the allegations began. And we found out that there was not one woman who had accused him of sexual harassment, but at least 4 women in that category. 2 were the cases involving his employment as the head of the National Restaurant Association. And full disclosure, I've worked for the National Restaurant Association. I've actually conducted a workshop for one of their national conventions, so I know about them. They're a very powerful, very well-respected organization. But in this case of their president at that time, Herman Cain, during the 90s, apparently being accused of sexual harassment by 2 different women, where the cases were settled for $35,000 and $45,000 each, totaling about $80,000, there was never a trial. There was a settlement, but there was a cash settlement. And in my mind, as a diversity professional and one who looks at some of these issues, anytime you have some kind of cash settlement like that, there's got to be some substance of truth to it. How much, to what degree, it just depends on the case. But I don't know of any organization in this country. I know how hard it is for me to support and get sponsors and raise money with my wonderful clients. I know the great effort that has to go into that. Companies and organizations don't just give away $80,000. They don't do that. There has to be something in the documentation, something in the set of circumstances that caused the National Restaurant Association to settle with these 2 employees to the tune of $80,000 and involved Herman Cain. There were 2 other women. There's one woman who did not settle. She did work for the organization. She apparently was terminated, was trying to get another job, went to Washington, D.C., and met with Herman Cain to see if, in fact, there was another job opportunity that he could provide for her. One thing led to another, and then she ended up accusing him of sexual harassment because of the inappropriate behavior that occurred following their dinner meeting and a hotel room that was upgraded to a suite, according to Ms. Bialecht. And another example of misbehavior and inappropriate behavior by someone in a power position. Herman Cain is a very bright man, a very intelligent man, but clearly there's something in my eyesight going on when you have four women, count them, four different women who have accused Herman Cain of sexual inappropriateness and sexual harassment. I predict that in the coming days, his poll numbers will continue to impact certainly women in the Republican Party who may have been led toward him and drawn toward him because he is a Tea Party advocate, but who will have some serious questions now because of these allegations that aren't going away anytime soon. And then the third case, and again, I'm going to give you some definitions in just a few minutes and also some facts on sexual harassment. The third case is one of international scope, and again, this is not just germane to the United States. When you look at these issues of discrimination, racism, sexual harassment, and abuse, it takes place everywhere, on every planet, every country on the globe. There is some unfortunate aspect where inappropriate behavior, power is used in a way that demoralizes human beings. The third case involves the president of FIFA. FIFA is the World Federation of Football. In other words, soccer, we call football soccer in the United States, but in other places it's called football. And Sepp Blatter, who is of Swiss descent, he's from Switzerland originally, but he is the head of FIFA, apparently has made some comments that have angered and troubled a lot of people, an awful lot of people. I have heard and loosely followed, but I'm going to follow them even more closely now, some of the racial complexities of football that have taken place. Again, we're talking about many, many, many countries and players representing. There are over 200 countries in the world, 193 with the United Nations that represent the United Nations, and many, many countries that are involved in playing football or soccer. So often you have players coming from parts of Africa, parts of Asia, parts of Europe who play on teams outside of their respective countries. And with that comes a lot of racial slurs and inappropriate comments that are made and violence in some cases that take place. There is a standing law in England that bans racism on the field. And there's a program, there's a grassroots program in England called Kick It Out. I've gone to that website in the past, and I would encourage you to Google it. I don't have the web address, but you can Google Kick It Out UK, and it'll come up with it. And it's basically designed to eradicate racism in football. Well, in response to the racism that continues to occur in football, the president of FIFA, Sepp Blatter, made this comment. He pretty much said that any player who has been abused should shake hands with the opponent and move on. He said that they basically don't tolerate racism on the football field, but he trivialized and diminished the impact of racism in football. And he has made apparently other comments in the past that have outraged the leaders, the professionals, some of the athletes who are involved in this very serious and very powerful game. It is extremely important in terms of revenue streams, just like we're talking about Penn State and American football here. European and world football is equally powerful and more so in terms of the dollars that generate through the various clubs, Manchester United, Chelsea, et cetera. They have had racial incidents that have taken place, and for that, the president has, I think, done a disservice in trivializing and minimizing the impact of racism in football. So with that said, let me go to a couple of definitions that will help clarify what we're talking about. First, when we're talking about sexual harassment involves the unwelcomed sexual advances, with an emphasis on unwelcomed. It involves requests for sexual favors. It involves verbal or physical contact of a sexual nature that tends to create a hostile or offensive working environment. So going back to the case of presidential candidate Herman Cain, in a powerful position, certainly can help to get people hired and fired at the National Restaurant Association back in the 90s, meets with Ms. Bialek. She's looking for a job. She has to work and take care of her own expenses. She goes there talking to the president of this powerful organization in which she used to work, and she wants to go back in another capacity. And according to her, there were unwanted sexual advances, hands in inappropriate places following this rather intimate dinner that took place between her and Herman Cain. That's sexual harassment, the emphasis on unwanted. Now, let me clarify this, because if you have two people on the job and they are flirtatious toward each other, there is a sense of camaraderie between the two. There may be sexual suggestions that are made between one person and the other person. That does not constitute sexual harassment, because in that case, it is welcomed and not unwelcomed. So hear me out. That's the important thing. The important word is unwelcomed. So look at your workplace and look at the circumstances that you find yourself in. There are countless cases where women are working in non-traditional fields, working in construction, working in transportation positions, working in heavy equipment, engineering capacities, working in tough jobs, should I say, utility organizations, where sexual harassment, sadly, is pervasive. And so often it is up to that woman to stand up and say no and go to the proper authorities so that she can have her rights protected. And in so many cases, she becomes victimized a second time when people don't believe her or will say that she caused the actions to take place. That's where the trouble takes place with sexual harassment, and why it continues to be pervasive, because it means that the victim has to stand up and say no and go to the proper authorities and pray that something is done where she can A, keep her job, or he can A, keep his job in a way that will improve the quality of the work experience. Doesn't happen that way, trust me. 24 years, I've seen a lot. Sometimes it gets much worse before it gets better. In the case of sexual abuse, this is the definition of sexual abuse. And if you go to my website again, tellcarole.com, T-E-L-L-C-A-R-O-L-E, and go to Carol's blog, I have a fact sheet on sexual harassment that I'm going to read a little bit of on the air, but you can see the exact list at my blog on my website. Sexual abuse is plain and simple molestation. That's forcing an undesirable sexual behavior by one person upon another. That's the real classic case of power and control. When force is immediate, of short duration, or infrequent, it is called sexual assault. And the term covers any behavior by any adult toward a child to stimulate the adult or child sexually. And this is for children. In the case of children under the age of consent, it is called sexual abuse. This is what happened with Penn State and those tragic young people, 8, 9, 10 years old, who were just systematically raped by Jerry Sandusky. He was involved in sexual abuse, a criminal offense. And Herman Cain was involved with sexual harassment, which typically tends to be a civil case where money is changed hands and reprimands are followed. But sexual abuse is criminal. I want to read to you, let me see if I can find this, some information, and I would encourage you to go to EEOC.gov, EEOC.gov, for more information. This is a federal website. It's the Equal Opportunity Office, federal office, that will give you extensive information, cases, et cetera, on particularly sexual harassment. They cover it quite extensively. And all of this, sexual harassment is a form of sexual discrimination, and it violates Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. So this is all based on legislative policies that were established 40-plus years ago. When you're talking about sexual harassment, it can really occur, and I'm reading this from the fact sheet that you can read at my blog. Sexual harassment can occur in a variety of circumstances, including but not limited to the following. A victim as well as the harasser may be a woman or a man. I've heard of cases where men have been harassed. Mostly, though, it's men harassing women. The victim does not have to be of the opposite sex. You can have same-sex sexual harassment. So, again, the gender, the age can be nonspecific. The harasser can be the victim's supervisor, an agent of the employer, a supervisor in another area, a coworker, or a non-employee. The victim does not have to be the person harassed, but could be anyone affected by the offensive conduct. Now, that's really interesting, because that means that you can have a whole department that is impacted by, let's say, a boss who is systematically harassing one of the employees who is connected with other employees within a department. So that's pretty interesting. Again, specific cases will warrant whether this would be deemed sexual harassment or not. Unlawful sexual harassment may occur without economic injury or to discharge of the victim. And the harasser's conduct must be unwelcomed. So the key point there is the unwelcome behavior from a boss, a supervisor, typically it's somebody in a power position or a position of influence who is inappropriately coming on to an employee where the behavior is unwelcomed. Now, my thought is we have probably a couple more weeks to go to get more detail and more information about the Herman Cain case. He's still in the race. He's still running. He is still a presidential candidate. His wife was on television earlier this week defending him with her honor and his. But this is far from over. What happens as a result of it, we don't know. When it comes to the Penn State situation, we're really at the tip of the iceberg. There have been charges filed, and Jerry Sandusky is going to go to jail as far as I'm concerned. I think he's out on bail right now, but he is going to go to jail. And in the case of the CIFA president, Sepp Blatter, his comments are inappropriate, and I think he should be reprimanded and certainly talked to, because to dismiss or trivialize Gersky the way he has is not making the case any easier. I hope this has been helpful to you, just to clarify some of the facts, to give you certainly my opinions. I would love for you to comment on my blog again at tellcarol.com. Let me know what your thoughts are. These subjects aren't going away. They really are the elephants in the room. But unless we stand up and say no and take action and confront them And face the fact that it may be painful for some to confront it, and you may lose friends, it will continue to happen over and over and over again. And as a diversity professional, I think some of this needs to go away quickly. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week for Thanksgiving. Have a great weekend. This is Carol Copeland-Thomas signing off.